Korkun kokun trap sonsun. Trap sonsun trap dondusun. Түүний сонсдог хөгжим дур булаа. Дагаж дуудан дур булаа мууруулаа.
Hey everybody, welcome to a brand new MBA Roasted podcast. We got a special one from Vegas. We got one of my favorite people here, Jay Haran. A lot of you newer fans don't know. You guys don't realize.
They
don't recognize the OGs. This is one of the OGs of the sport. Before we get to him, I want to thank our sponsor, Speedweed. Listen, if you find yourself in need of marijuana, go to speedweed.com. They got everything from joints to CBD oil to, I'm telling you, my back is killing me. And I was fucking hurt. And then I rolled on CBD oil. Now I feel like $1 million. So go to speedweed.com, get 20% off if you say, mention MMA Roasted on $100 or more. So here with Jay Haran, who actually, I used to follow you because I didn't actually go to Oceanside. I got sent to boarding school. But what I should have went, and I had to train with the kids, and you were a legend. You were Jay Hieronymus back then.
James Hieronymus.
You were 130 pounds, I think.
Yeah, in senior year.
You fucked up everybody, though.
Yeah, I was pretty good in high school.
You were the county champion.
Three-time county champ.
Three-time county champ. And how'd you do in the States wrestling?
States, I second my sophomore year, and I should have won it my senior year, but got robbed.
You got your house.
Lost double overtime to Terry Showalter.
Oh, wow.
Thank God I still got my memory. I remember that.
So you took second in the state twice?
Second in the state twice, yes. Now, I ended up being All-American in the high school nationals that year, which is really tough. High school nationals, all the, you know, badass kids around.
Now, I remember I went to Oceanside. Well, I remember going to Oceanside, and I went to Maine, and I actually won the state championship in Maine. It was like Class C, and then I came back, and I still wasn't very good. I was just 103 pounds, and I was good for like Maine at that time. I was in a weak weight class. But I went back to Oceanside, and their legend was this kid named John Girardi. He was a kid that everybody talked about, John Girardi. And he was like, you're the state champ, and he laughed at me. And he's like, ah, ha, ha, and he clowned me. And he was the king. But, you know, you fucked up Girardi, though.
I did, but he beat me, though, in my freshman year. A few kids beat me my freshman year that I remember that pretty much made me get better. And he's one of those kids. He definitely, you know, I lost to him and I was like, man, I know I could beat this kid. So I just trained harder. And, you know, again, that's what made me, you know, get my butt in the gym and stay after and learn.
And you came back and you beat him, what, your senior year, junior year?
I think maybe that year I beat him again, freshman year. There was a few guys that beat me my freshman year, which was my first year wrestling. And I didn't really know nothing. I was just, you know, tough kid. And I didn't, you know, one thing I always had was I would never give up. And, but I didn't have no technique.
Right.
So that's what, you know, these few kids beat me. He's one of them. And I was like, all right, you know, let me learn how to wrestle.
That's the thing about wrestling that's the hardest thing about wrestling is that jiu-jitsu probably too, but it's one of those things where you only get better by getting the shit beaten out of you.
Oh yeah.
And it's hard to like convince a kid to do that or anybody to do that. It's one of those things where comedy, you know, you get good enough in comedy, you're going to stop bombing. You'll still bomb once in a while.
Yeah.
But wrestling is one of those things. I remember there was a kid named Joel Friedman.
Yep. I went to the States with him. Dad, senior year.
He was like, hey, come to my wrestling camp.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, every weekend. And it was me, him, and I had one friend.
Uh-huh.
And I was their practice dummy.
I bet you got better, though.
Oh, I got so much better.
I mean, that's the thing. I always tell, like, you know, parents, you know, if you want to put your kid in a sport that'll teach him discipline, you know, and give him a direction and get him tough is wrestling, no doubt about it. And I mean, you know, it's pretty much at any high school, so it's free.
Yeah.
You know, they just go from class to training after or wrestling practice after school, and it teaches them everything, man. It'll turn you into a man.
Absolutely. Now, you're from Freeport, right?
Freeport, yes.
But by the way, if you guys don't know Freeport, it's very black.
It's very Latin black. It's white. It's everything.
Well, back then when I was there, we used to play them in football, and when they would get off the bus, We had already lost. And this is in middle school. Well, once we saw the Freeport team, we're like, oh, this is not going to go well for us.
We got a badass football squad, though, man. A lot of guys go to the pros from Freeport. So, yeah, you know, the head coach is actually, a little shout out for him, is Russ Sullen, which he is why I made it through high school, because he was the assistant wrestling coach at the time. And he, you know, believed in me, and I was dipping and dodging and wanted to quit. Like we talked earlier, I quit in my senior year, 2-time county champ, state runner up, and I quit. And then he would like make it a point to find me in school and act like he's walking down the hallway and just so happened to run into me. And he got me back on the team. So, you know, he's a guy that.
So you
play
football too?
I didn't. He wanted me to. I was too small. I was 91 pounds. But he's a guy that you know, definitely looks over people, and that's why the success of the athletes come out of it is incredible.
Now, are you half black, 100%
half black?
Black
Italian.
So your mom's Italian?
Yes.
Your dad's black?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you close to your family?
Yeah. I mean, well, you know, I was adopted when I was a baby, so my family is my family. That's who I know.
Right.
Growing up.
You were adopted by a half black, half, or your original?
No, my original mother is Italian, and my adopted mother is Italian. So,
oh wow,
yeah. So
that's crazy.
Yeah, and my real biological father, I don't know, but my Hieronymus comes from my adoptive father, and you know, he was in my life for the beginning years of my life, and then they had a divorce, but he was a good guy. He was always around.
Oh, nice.
You know, but yeah, I went through the whole, you know, they were together, and then we moved to Freeport. I grew up in Oceanside when I was young.
Oh, nice.
And then, you know, I went to elementary and junior high, and we moved to Freeport at that time. And, yeah, but I mean, everybody has a story. I mean, I had a good life. I mean, no matter what, I got sisters with blonde hair, blue eyes. So I didn't know difference growing up when I was a kid. You know, I just, whatever, everybody's everybody, you know.
Now, when your parents adopted you and you were winning counties, and they were like, oh, we adopted the right kid.
Yeah, we picked the one. The stork brought the right one.
Because I was thinking about that. I was in my car, and that girl, Simone, the Olympian, the black Olympian.
Oh, yeah.
And she was saying, yeah, I was adopted. Uh-huh. And I'm like, well, I'd adopt it. can I adopt you after you win the Olympics? Like, I mean, like yeah. At 18, could I, hey, listen, but here's a house.
Yeah, right? So they picked the right one.
Yeah. So, okay, so now did you get in a lot of fights growing up? Or?
Oh, yeah, a lot of fights. Well, I was a small kid. I didn't grow till later in my life, so... You know, going into ninth grade, I was 100 pounds. So, yeah, I was getting picked on elementary, junior high. And I only had older sisters. I didn't have an older brother. So there was no, you know, hey, big bro, help me out with this. Nah, none of that. I had to just.
Did you hook up with your sister's friends?
No.
Really?
Not really.
The blonde hair, blue eyes sister, they're friends?
Yeah, but they had a big age difference in between. So not big, but, you know, not, big enough to where they were like, well, get out of here, you little scrawny kid, bird chest.
I remember when I finally hooked up my sister's friends. It was like the happiest day of my life. I think I was in high school. And I was like, finally. I almost got in a fight. By the way, before we get back to Jay, today was one of the worst days. I go on the treadmill because I'm all fat from Christmas. I'm like, oh, I'm going to go running. So I'm doing like seven. I'm going to do 45 minutes at 6'5", 6'7", 7. It's just a light jog, but it's still a good workout. So then my phone rings. So I get off the treadmill at like 25 minutes. And I'm like, I take the phone call. Then I'm like, oh, okay. Normally treadmills stop when you get off, right? So I figured it stopped.
Yeah.
So I go back on. It didn't fucking stop. And I went, whoa. I went face down. I hit my leg, the ACL fucking leg. I'm wow. I'm hanging by the foot.
Man, that's the footage you need for your show, right?
Luckily, no one saw me. It was so embarrassing.
Wow.
That was bad. And then I almost got into a fight at the comedy club last Tuesday at Dime Bar.
Oh, damn.
So it was like a shitty crowd. There's nobody there. There's like 10 people there. It's like, except, of course, one of my friends was there, actually. My friend Gary from ESPN. It was the one show I didn't want him to see. And I'm picking on the crowd, and there was a guy with a beard. I'm like, oh, ISIS is here. And I'm making fun of everyone. And I didn't realize the guy was like, fuck you. I'll fuck you in the ass. Blah, blah, I'm going to kill you. I'm like, oh, hey, man, I'm kidding. I don't know if you're really an ISIS. I'm joking. He's with a girl. I'm like, oh, is she a hostage? And then, like, so then the guy's getting even angrier, right? So then I leave him alone. Then I finally go back to them. I'm like, listen, man, just relax, queef. It's okay.
That's my favorite part of the show, by the way, when you get on the audience.
Oh, well, then after the show, the guy comes up to me, and he goes, hey, you want to fight? And like he's tall and drunk, and I'm like, I could probably, you know, but I'm like, I'm running the show. Yeah. I'm gonna get sued. I go, listen, man, it's just a comedy show. He goes, no, you. And he grabbed me. I go, I go, get your hands off me. Yeah. He goes, well, what are you gonna do? I go, don't touch me. He goes, I'll touch you. He makes a phone call. Five huge ISIS. Middle Eastern guys show up. They're outside, right? So then the bouncer's like, hey, go apologize. So he leaves. I go outside. I'm like, hey, man. And the guy goes, what did you say to him? I go, well, it was a comedy show. I called him ISIS, which is not what you want to tell a huge guy who has no idea. I go, where is he from? He's like, Saudi Arabia. I'm like, great, right? So then the guy goes, I'm like, listen. The guy grabs my ear. But there's like bounces. And I go, get your hands off me. And I've been taking Krav Maga for 2 weeks.
What are you doing, the ISIS technique?
Grab my ear. But luckily it was not my cauliflower ear, because then I would have flipped. So then I go back outside, and someone's like, these guys, they're getting guns or some crazy shit. So I just got in my car and drove home. I'm like, fuck this. So hopefully these guys, so if I'm dead in a couple weeks, this story right here is the reason. So anyway, back to you, Jay. Okay, so then you end up, now your grades aren't good, right?
Never.
Your grades, now you're a smart guy.
Yeah, I just didn't like school.
Didn't like school.
So any kids listening out there, don't, you know, stick to the books. Yeah, because I don't know. I just wasn't into it.
So you ended up going to Nassau Community College, right?
Nice. I had a big time, you know, I used to fantasize a lot.
About chicks or something? Or?
Everything.
You would daydream in school?
Yeah, daydream.
Yeah. So, but now, are colleges recruiting you? I would think that... Yeah.
No. I mean, the thing is, I wasn't into school, but I loved wrestling. So, you know, once I had the semester would come up, I would have to pass classes. I would make it a point again to do it. So again, it goes back to, you know, being in sports helped me get through a lot of things in my life too, as school being, you know, one of them. You know, I wouldn't have graduated high school without having to pass classes to be on the wrestling team.
Right.
You know, just like college. I made it a point to, when I had to get to the books, I had to. But yeah, of course, I was just never really into it. You know, I was into it for sports.
Of course. Well, yeah, that's I used to spend my days in school like writing down wrestling moves, and my teacher would come over and be like, "This is not what you you're supposed to be," or like drawing little wrestlers. That's what I would do. So, but now you end up going to Nassau after.
I went. My coach wanted me to get out of New York because, again, you know, I was getting in trouble.
Now, were you in it? Were gangs or like? I would think the gangs would play like, "Hey, you're our guy."
It was never a gang in gangs. I had friends, but you know, I got into wrestling because I was getting picked on, and the day I got into wrestling, that was the last day anybody picked on me. Once I learned a couple moves, and I was, you know, it was over.
Right.
Nobody ever again was gonna mess with me, you know. So I learned a little bit how to protect. I actually got into boxing before wrestling. I went with my sister's ex-boyfriend. Well, my sister's boyfriend at the time, he was, you know, doing some karate, and he went to a boxing gym.
Is it a Westbury. White guy?
White guy.
So he probably did. He Westbury. Take you for like street cred. You're like, hey.
I don't know. It was in Westbury. I remember that. Of course, you know, they ended up breaking up down the road, and then I didn't have a chance to go back to the gym. It was far away, so that's why I picked wrestling. It was at my high school. It was free, and I was like, hey, I could just learn this. If somebody's, you know, grabbing me or trying to, you know, take my shoes or my money, I could at least know how to slam somebody and get them off of me. So that's originally why I joined wrestling, not knowing the whole, I saw a Vision Quest, but I wasn't like knew the whole, you know, point system or how it worked or anything. I just.
Yeah, my first day, I put a kid in like a Boston Crab. And the coach was like, WWF. I swear to God, I thought all the moves were the same. It was the same moves.
Yeah.
And then actually I was in sixth grade wrestling, and then they were like, hey, we're bringing some Freeport kids over. And then this kid, Akil Code, came and put me in a cradle that gave me a red mark on my forehead for like a month. It was like a reminder of not to get put in that cradle.
But oh, man, yeah. I know Akil.
He was a tough kid, right?
Yeah. A lot of tough kids come out of there.
Yeah, absolutely. So, okay, so then you end up going to, you wanted to get out of New York. So where'd you end up going?
Oh, yeah, my coach was like, you know what, he called me Jimmy. All right, Jimmy, you're graduating. You don't have the grades to go to university, but you go to junior college, you know, get your degree, and then transfer over to the university. And, you know, at the time, Iowa was, you know, Hawkeyes. It was right after the Brands brothers and all that. Yeah. A few years after that, Tom Ryan and all those guys. And he's like, Jimmy, we're going to send you to Iowa Central Junior College. It's in Fort Dodge, Iowa.
Oh,
and then you go up to Iowa University or the Hawkeyes. And I was like, all right. Man, I get out there. I was like, where the hell am I? It was like
all cornfields.
All cornfields. They hated me. I'm a Yankee. I'm straight out of New York. I mean, I didn't even, I've never been anywhere other
That's
than
hilarious.
Like wrestling tournaments. So, I've never lived anywhere, so they're just like, nobody, you know, is really like, what's up with this guy, you know what I mean? And I just, you know, I was doing, on the mat, wrestling in the room, I was killing it, dude. I mean, you know, I would.
They must
I
have
was,
loved you. The coaches must have loved you.
Yeah, but I think they still had that Iowa mentality, you know what I mean? I was more slick, and, you know, I probably, you know, didn't have to train as hard as the other guys that were grinders. So I don't know if they, you know what I mean? I think they like that grind style more. But, you know, again, I was still, you know, beating everybody up in the room. And I actually was whooping the kid that ended up winning the Nationals that year, the Junior College Nationals.
Wow.
Yeah. I think his name was Ironside or something.
Yeah, Mike yeah. Ironside, I think.
Mike Ironside, whatever his name was. He was good, but I was, you know, I was definitely beating him up in practice. And the end of the semester was coming. I wasn't feeling it out there at all. I was just homesick.
Any chicks? Were you banging any hot Iowa girls?
Yeah, but still, it was just, I don't know. It wasn't my cup of tea out there, man. I was just like, nah. It was cool, you know?
So you lasted one semester.
One semester, I came back and transferred back to Nassau Community College, which for me was incredible.
By the way, if you guys don't know, Nassau Community College has the best sports teams because it's every great athlete in Long Island who was too dumb to get into college or just like Jay, like failed that after one semester of, you know, Northern Iowa.
Yeah.
And then also the hottest women, because it was every girl that like was a princess who never had to try hard in school, who was just popular as shit, but actually forgot to actually learn anything, to read a book. It was like you the hottest women, they all came right from the club at night.
Oh, yeah.
They were, I mean, like 10 in the morning was when they were leaving the city club. They still had glitter on their faces, and they all wear like these little shorts with the juicy on the asses and or like sweatpants. Oh, right. Oh,
yeah. Nassau is nice. I don't know about it anymore, but it was nice when I went.
So you went to Nassau, and you
went to Nassau. Yo, the coaches again. You know, these are my coaches that, you know, I needed a kick in my butt. I needed, you know, somebody to be on me. You know, I didn't, you know, that's who I meshed with better. A coach like that, where, you know, come on, you know, be on your stuff. You know, always trying to push me. And I came back and boom, I fell in. That's what I had at Nassau was Coach Henke. You know, he reminds me of Mickey from Rocky.
Right. Okay.
Get up because Henke loves you. Yeah. Okay. So, man, he was great. You know, he was just pushing me and you know, telling me, you know, great things every day. You know, you could do this. You know, stay on your grades. You're going to go to the, you know, you're going to go D1 and
now,
all this
now
stuff.
Was Baroni on the team too?
Baroni was on the team too. Yeah. So both of us knuckleheads were on the team. We ended up fighting one year.
Really?
Yeah. Upstate.
What do you mean? You got him go to a fight?
Yeah, we got in a fight at a tournament. We went up to a wrestling tournament in Albany, dead midwinter. I mean, January, February, snow, like 2-3 feet of snow. So me and him, again, I forget the whole reason why. I remember I had Timberlands on, and I was trying to kick. He was already boxing, too, at the time. He was doing the tough man's and all that.
Right.
So I was like, yeah, he got some hands, but. You know,
who won the fight?
Well, we ended up scuffling a little bit. I mean,
like on the bus or in the?
No, we were in the tournament, about in the weigh-ins or something.
And you guys teammates.
We were teammates. Yeah, well, you know, Brony's a knucklehead. I was a knucklehead at the time. I mean, I don't remember about everything. All I remember is, I mean, I know I had a chair in my hand. I mean, he had a chair. We trying to swing chairs at each other, and a coach finally comes in. He's like, "All right, you guys want to fight? Find your own way home." Me and him look out at each other. We look outside. We see that 3 feet of snow. Hey, coach, we're good. We're good, bro. Made up real quick.
That
snow outside.
I mean, Baroni was like, he has so many stories about how he was a male stripper for the
kind
of black dance.
He used
team.
To bring in the boxing gloves and have all the wrestlers box after practice in Nassau and Hofstra, because we went to Hofstra too together. It was hilarious.
So then you go to Hofstra, you get into Hofstra, and yeah. I remember, I think I would have been on your team too, because Mike Quaglio gave me my tour, and he was like, and Tom Ryan recruited me.
Yeah.
So at the time, Tom was cleaning house. He was like, because the team wasn't that good at that time. It was like a bunch of, I actually went to a wrestling camp and took down a couple of the college kids on the team in high school, and Tom was like, I think gave me a scholarship on the spot. He's like, all right, get these, I think this kid starts for us. So you go to Hofstra.
I ended up winning the Nashville community, I won the Nationals.
So you won
that year.
The community college Nationals.
Yeah,
this is good.
First one, real good. Because again, like we spoke about, it's all the great wrestlers through high school that didn't have the grades to go Division I. So they all go to junior college so they could skip D3, D2. After they graduate, they go straight to D1.
Yeah.
Well, that was my road anyway. So I won the Nationals. Got recruited by Hofstra, still a knucklehead.
Still living at home in Freeport?
No, I was living on campus. I had a full ride to Hofstra. I had a little room. I had a room off campus, an apartment with a girl at the time too, and my room at Hofstra. So I would go back and forth, living the dream. I did. I was messing around that season. I felt I could have. I probably could have, won it that year, but I was messing around.
What do you mean, like, was smoking weed?
Yeah, smoking weed, just, school, just didn't.
You weren't doing coke or?
No, I never did coke.
So you weren't
sold
doing
coke.
were you selling coke at Hofstra?
Maybe a little bit, not as much.
Okay, so you were selling drugs, even though you had a full ride, you still needed money.
Yeah, I still needed money.
So you're selling drugs on the side.
Don't follow my path, kids.
Right, and now is Baroni selling it with you? Is he?
No. No, okay, I was selling Baroni weed.
Okay, so
he always gets mad at me. He's like, "You sold me some weed one time and then smoked it with me."
That's hilarious. Well, he was your friend.
Yeah, I got to try it out with you, sure. And I got to get paid.
So you're at Hofstra. You're one of the best kids on the team.
Yeah.
It's you. Now, this is before Weidman came, right?
Yeah, before Weidman came, before a few other guys.
There's a guy, Weidler, I think, on the team.
Weidler, yeah. He went MMA, too. He fought MMA, too. He was tough as nails, but he was,
He's a meathead.
Yeah, meathead.
So you're selling drugs. And you get, at that point, you got kicked out of Hofstra, right?
Yeah, I was a knucklehead. This is that season, I ended up doing okay. I lost to John Lange in the wrestle backs of the Nationals, which was going to be my placing round.
Right.
Which I already beat the kid that ended up coming back, taking third. I beat him in the quarterfinals.
Wow.
So, I was right there. Yeah, the next season, I was ranked third in the country, D1, being a knucklehead, smoking weed, and got popped on the piss test, which at the time...
For marijuana, which is
so marijuana,
stupid. Because
and they had a new rule set in place saying if you get positive for drugs, you're off. And it was a school, new rule. It wasn't the NCAA. Like if it was NCAA, I would have had a couple months suspension and been back.
Right.
And for me, it was like, all right, now this is getting my shit together. Now this is my last year wrestling. I know I'm going to go 100%. I don't know. I think I always need that kick in my butt or some type of reality to set in, which isn't good, but I needed that at the time. And I was like, all right, I'm taking it serious. And however the cards got dealt, they didn't let me back on the team. They were like,
Now Tom Ryan could have had your back. I remember.
I think so.
I asked Tom about it. He said that's the one thing he feels really bad about.
Yeah, I mean.
So he said he was brand new.
He was brand new. He didn't go to bat for me. I get it. You know what? Everything in your life happens for a reason, and that's what it is.
So at that point, now you're kicked out of school.
I was kicked out of school. No. They actually did say I could finish up my school and my scholarship. But me at the time and being so sour over the whole situation, I didn't want to go to school.
I'm not gonna go to school to wrestle.
Yeah,
I
can't
wrestle.
I mean, what am I doing here anyway? I'm here to wrestle. I didn't have any really plans to do anything.
And how old are you
school.
Now? You're 20?
Yeah, 19, 20.
19
young,
years old, yeah.
Young knucklehead, man. And ended up picking up my wrestling shoes. I remember this like it was yesterday, and throwing them in the garbage and never in my headgear and everything I had, like my practice stuff. And never even thinking about it again. Like I dated girls then; they didn't even know how the level of wrestling I was on. Like when I would tell
like
them,
third in the country.
Yeah, and they would. I would tell them they had no idea just because I didn't talk about it at all. I just voided it out of my life. Then it's not. It just happens. But I still feel everything you do.
Okay, so then what happens?
You know, that's when the Tony Montana. No, that's when I got him. You know, I was like, you know what, time to make money.
But so then you walk into Cerro Longo, or
no, it was a, you know, a little time went by. I started making money, and then I. Phil Baroni.
How were you making money? You were selling drugs?
Yeah, selling drugs, man. It was all about money at the time.
You were living in Hempstead?
I felt like, seriously, which is the wrong way of thinking, I felt like I wasted my time wrestling. You know why? Because it felt like, you know, it's not like it is now where wrestlers in high school or junior high or something have something to think about after college. Oh, career with fighting.
At the time, there was no MMA.
Yeah, there was Olympics after. There was MMA, but it was still brand new.
Right.
I mean, you're talking about 2002. You know what I mean?
So now you're dealing drugs. Are you dealing it to like? Are you dealing it to like shady people back at the in the neighborhood? Are you dealing it to dumb college kids or
shady people? I really, you know, you know what I mean? Everybody.
Anybody. Yeah, anyone knows that Jay has the coke. Yeah. Jay has the weed. No heroin or no? You weren't.
No.
Just, it was just weed and coke.
Yeah, now, weed and coke.
But you're making good money at this?
Yeah, I was doing really well.
So you're making like $3,000-$4,000 a week?
Yeah, more than that.
$5,000. Now, were you saving any of it?
Yeah, I was decently smart. I mean, I always had
a good business sense.
Yeah, and I always would spend money too. But you know, I always knew it could end. So I was like, you know what? Let me just have money.
So you weren't driving around a Ferrari and like a fur coat or like.
Yeah, I did dumb things. I was driving around
really?
Convertible BMWs and dumb shit like that. Of course,
BMWs.
I still love cars, man.
Okay,
come on,
right, it's a good point. So you got a convertible.
Yeah. I had a convertible BMW at the time. I had a Mercedes Benz. You know, I had motorcycles. I had four wheelers. I had jet skis.
Are you a known drug dealer at this point? Are people like? Are you moving
the
up the ranks of drug dealing?
I mean. Yeah, plus I could defend myself.
Right.
Come on,
so don't fuck with it. Did anybody ever try to come at you?
Yeah, a few times. I mean, in that stage of my life, too, I didn't care. I was street fighting. I was, you know, I you know what I mean? I took more of what I known from my competition and, you know what I mean, and wrestling. Because literally in a street fight, I mean, if you could wrestle, you got an upper hand.
Right,
I mean,
right.
Because not everybody knows how to box or throw punches. You know what I mean?
Right.
There's 99% of people do not know how to fight, you know? Of course, now you take it to the street, there's no rules. Yeah, you get stabbed, you get shot, but
I mean... Did you ever get stabbed or shot?
I got shot at, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I got shot at before in a long time ago, a few times.
So now Phil Baroni is the guy that saved you from all this?
Yeah, if you want to... Yeah, I mean, damn okay. Sure right, dude.
Okay, so Phil Baroni... All right, so...
So I'm doing all this stuff at the time, you know, doing my thing and making money. And Phil reaches out to me. Hey, man, I'm fighting in the UFC. I knew he was doing tough enough fights. I seen UFC. It wasn't as big. And he's like, man, I need... I'm fighting... who is he fighting? I think he was fighting Matt Lindland first fight.
Matt Lindland, yeah.
And he's like, dude, I need a good wrestler to, you know, take me down. Because
Lindland,
you know,
was an Olympic wrestler.
Lindland was an Olympic wrestler. And he's like, I need a good wrestler to take me down and I need to defend takedowns. And so I don't know. I didn't want to wrestle anymore. I'm like, well, I'm going to go wrestle and get ringworm and get sweaty and sweaty dude on me. And I'm like, what the hell? I want a mink coat and drive a convertible.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
At the time,
Long Island.
Yeah, man.
Like,
so, I ended up going down and wrestling with him and we did a little boxing.
Now, where was this?
Belmore Kickboxing Academy. That's where I started at. Shout out Keith Trimble, still there, badass coach, one of the best in Long Island. That's where he took me down, and you know, he convinces Keith to let me box. You know, Baroni's a knucklehead. I went in to box somebody that knew how to box. So this is after we doing some wrestling stuff, and I put the gloves on, and you know, I always thought I was tough. I was like, yeah, this dude looked like a nerd, like straight up substitute teacher.
Yeah,
the guy was gonna box. I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna smash this dude. I had a, you know, I was super confident. I was beating people up in street fights. I'm like, yeah, let's go. This dude had a bird chest and he took off his glasses and got in the ring. I'm like, yeah, let's go. Boom, straight jabbing my nose off my face, bro. I left with my nose bloody. I'm like, whoa.
But you never, even really trained.
I never,
in boxing.
Yeah, I never. I did a little bit of boxing again before wrestling, but not right. like that. You know what I mean? And I was like, damn. So anyway, long story short, you know, I finished the round, whatever. I was tough and all that, but I wasn't. Like, I wasn't that gung-ho about, you know, going back to me to be a fighter. So, long story short, a time goes on by, and then I ended up getting locked up. Ended up getting arrested for, of course, selling drugs, which is one of the best things that happened in my life.
Did you get set up, or?
I got set up for a guy I knew 10 years. So, you know, if you're doing dirt out there, just believe it. I don't care if you're James Bond. Shit comes back to you.
What were you selling?
Coke.
You were selling coke. How
I was
much
selling coke. Dude, I don't know the numbers, but I ain't gonna go into all that. It was big. It was big.
It was a pretty big deal. And then
big deal. It was big enough to get an A2 felony, which A2 nonviolent felony, which the only one above that is an A1 nonviolent. Okay, so if you go down the list, there's A1 felony, A2 felony. I had an A2 nonviolent. So then you have the A1 nonviolence, A2 nonviolent. Of course, mine was drugs, so it was nonviolent. So boom. You know, I'm in the you in the game with that charge. You know, I went to my lawyer at the time. Thank God, like I said earlier, I've been, you know, I wasn't always a retarded person and spent all my money. I would always have something on the side.
You had a pretty good lawyer.
Had a pretty good lawyer, and he told me straight. He's like, yeah, you're in the game now, buddy. You got some money, huh? Basically, I'm not touching your case without some money. So I had
50 grand?
Yeah, around, you know. But I didn't have to give him all that up front. So anyway.
Now, did you have to spend any time behind bars?
Well, when I got locked up, I was in there a month. My mom put up the house, bailed me out, and then I started fighting my case from there. But, I mean, dude, again, my story, it made me who I am today, man. Yeah.
When you see your mom put up her house.
My mom put up a house, man.
Are you in tears? I mean, how bad do you feel?
It hurts, man. I mean, you know, that's your mother.
Yeah.
You know, and she still didn't, like, you know, she still wasn't hard enough on me to be like, you know, you're a piece of shit. She just, you know, you could tell.
Was she thinking about giving you back to the adoption agency at that point?
Nah, I don't think she would do that. But yeah, imagine. Yeah, calling them, hey, you know, I know I had him for 20 some odd years, but come get this guy. I made a mistake. I don't care if he could wrestle. But, you know, yeah, I mean, that was all life changing experience. I wouldn't change it for the world. And I hope,
so your lawyer gets you off.
Well, yeah, I started fighting the case. It was in a month. Bail out. Mom put the house up, which is, you know, I mean, that's her house, dude. You know, your mom put your house up for you.
But you're guilty.
If you don't change your fucking ways, if your mother puts up your house for you, you are a piece of shit.
But how do you beat the case if you're guilty?
Okay, so it's my first felony. Yeah. You know, it's my first time being in big trouble. I had small stuff, misdemeanors, fights. Again, we going back, but nothing like this, you know, this magnitude. So, you know, again, it goes back in my life when for me, I always need that kick in my butt. So I'm like, you know, sitting in jail those days, like, man, this shit is definitely not worth it.
Yeah.
And, you know, this lion right here is not meant to be caged and all them feelings I've had. And of course, I'm not no snitch, so I'm not going to set somebody else up like the guy that set me up. Because he wanted to get out of trouble.
But was that what they were trying to make you do?
Yeah. Well, first, they knew already. They brought me in right away and said, you know, what's up? You got anything for us? Nope. Take me to do what you got to do.
My dad and my lawyer selling drugs, and he had turned in a field of marijuana that he drove past and got out, actually.
Damn.
Selling acid.
And my lawyer actually is a lawyer that he don't make deals. So if you have this lawyer, there, you know, if you already know, he don't come with deals. He gets you the best scenario that could happen, but he don't do any deals or set anybody up or anything like that. So yeah, long story short, I bail out, my mom's bailed me out, and then, you know, I start, that's when, you know, the everything sets in.
So now
reality,
you're like, all right,
depression.
Now are the people your old clients and your the guys, are they trying to get you back in the drug game? Are they trying to, hey, listen,
yeah, you know, there was I'm not gonna lie, there was a few moves I had to make after being out on bail, like, you know, people owe me money and stuff I had to sell because I was still sitting on things and just, but already had in my mind I was done.
Did you sell your like stock in like your drug business? I mean,
it was done.
Really?
Yeah. No, I didn't sell what I had. But
like,
yeah.
I mean, like someone bought you out. Like, hey, I'll take over your clientele.
Yeah, something like that. Like, yes, situations like that. I had to, you know, do some meetings with stuff and, you know, unload stuff I had and just, you know, now everything I've had, it's like, you know, anything worth value, how to get rid of just to have some money for lawyers and whatever, you know, anything else just to live. Because the next few years, I didn't, you know what I mean? It's living off of stuff I had. I didn't have a job. And, that's when everything kicks in. Reality, depression. What do I do now? Oh, I'm facing jail time too. You know what I mean? So this is the case was going on.
Now, are you thinking back then, like, man, I was second in the state. I had all this. Are you thinking
a little bit? You know, just it could have been different. I could have stayed in school. You know, even a 9-to-5 is better than being in jail. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
You know, unless you like being confined, I don't. So.
So how long were you actually in the jail for?
Just like a month and change. You
Did
know
anybody
what I mean?
Like test you in jail?
No, bro. Come on.
No.
Nah. It's different, man. You carry. You know, they prey on the weak.
You don't have to join a gang or anything.
No. Come on, dude. I carry myself a certain way. Nobody's just going to run up on me. And,
yeah.
You know you could do that too. And that's what it is. It's like anything in life. You know who you could prey on and all that. I'm not the one. So, you know, I didn't have to. I knew a few dudes in there too. So, you know what I mean? It's not like I didn't know anybody. But so, yeah, I'm out and just going through all that stuff. And, you know, I'm just praying and just wanting another chance. I don't want to go. And this is when all those feelings set in depression and all this. Now, what do I do? And the only thing, because now I'm getting ready, my mind frame is, okay, I might go to jail. You know what
right.
I mean? There's a possibility, a big possibility, unless they get me probation, which my lawyer was like, yeah, I doubt it, but I'll try to get you about 8 months. So I'm like, all right, I got to get in shape. You know what I mean? So that was my way of thinking.
So you got in shape just to prepare for jail?
Yes, that's how. So I call Phil up, boom. Yo, listen, I got to go back to that gym. I got to get ready, you know, for I'm dealing with this case and all that. And that's what was my mind frame going back to Belmore Kickboxing was getting prepared to go to jail.
So now you go to that Belmore Kickboxing, you're actually beating the fighters probably.
Not yet. I went back and I was just hitting the bag every day and doing my own thing. I just signed up at the gym.
Who says to you, hey, you want to fight or anybody? Like,
Not yet. It was a few months went by. Keith just looking at me on the side of his eye, not really paying attention to me. And, you know, that was rare. That was new to me, too. I always had coaches running on, hey, man, blah, blah, blah. So this was all new. Yeah. I mean, this guy wasn't even paying me no mind. You know, he was just looking at me like from the side of his eye, whatever. You know, who's this kid, whatever. He knew I was tough, but, you know, he still wasn't like jumping at, hey, man, I want to train you. And then all of a sudden one day, I don't know how it happened, but, you know, he was like, he'll train me. And that from that day, dude.
No. I'm looking at your record.
Now,
you win your first. You fight Keith Plate.
Yep.
That's your first fight. Minute and a half. Just knock the fucking guy out.
Winning that fight like I was a straight killer off the street. Had all the homies in the crowd from Freeport.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was awesome. I sold the tickets because we had to sell the tickets or sell for the fight. And no, it was still brand new in MMA, so nobody knew what it was, really. I would be going down in Freeport. Hey, man, come watch me fight. The tickets are like $25.
And
like,
at this point,
fight.
You know you're not going
you're
to jail,
a wrestler.
Right? Like this point, you know you're off.
Well, not yet. I'm still going through my case. So it's even more because now I found the love for this new sport that I can incorporate wrestling in. I found I always loved boxing and I could do boxing. And then found
that
out
movie
Muay
where
Thai.
The guy fights in prison and then like.
Which
it,
one?
It was some stupidest, but I think it was a boxing movie, but like somehow.
Oh, yeah, the back in the day. Penitentiary, was it?
It was something where like he fights in jail, but then.
Yeah.
For some reason, like everybody in the jail, like they have like ring card girls, and like so fucking.
Yeah, I need to make a movie
they,
like that.
Promoted it. I was like, I don't think this is what happens in jail.
We're gonna make the remake.
Yeah. So Keith Plate. Now, is Keith Plate any good? You know anything about him?
I don't know anything about him. I was like, it's war. You know, if I could put the war paint on my face, you know what I mean? I could put war on my face. I mean, I was fighting. Even that, my mentality for fighting wasn't. Where when I became a real professional at it and I had a better mind frame with it, I went in that fight like he smacked my mother in front of me.
Now, did your mom come to the fight?
No. She didn't come to the fight. My mother's great. She believed in me wrestling and fighting. I would call her the day before a fight, and, oh, you're going to squash him like a tomato. Don't worry about it. I swear to you. I mean, how can't you be confident if your mother's like, yeah, don't worry about
That's
it.
That's a nice Italian woman,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you're going to squash him like a tomato.
So your next fight is against Jermaine Johnson.
Yep.
You beat him in a minute, rear naked choke.
Yeah.
Fernando Munoz, fucking 33 seconds.
Yeah, I was running through them.
By then, you know, you're not going to jail by Fernando Munoz.
Yeah. I was already. So what happened was with the whole situation with the jail, how it ended up is, you know, I started going back to my high school to get the coaches to sign letters for me saying I was a good dude, my personality, you know, I made a mistake. I went to my college. My college coaches did that for me. A lot of people. My Nassau Community College.
You didn't go to Iowa.
No, they didn't.
We always knew you were. No, trouble.
So my Nassau coaches, my high school coaches, they you know, they like father figures to me. So they definitely were in my corner, you know. And then, you know, I told myself, that's it. I'm done messing around. You know what I mean? If I get this opportunity, you know, again, like I've had many opportunities in my life, and I kind of messed a lot of opportunities up, but I know how to rebound. When I do get a opportunity, and I never look back from that.
So then you beat Fernando Munoz in a minute, and then you first round against Fabio Holanda. That's the first time you go to distance.
Yeah.
He must have been tough. Then you fight GSP.
Yep.
This is your fifth fight ever.
Yeah.
Against GSP. Now, do you know how good GSP is?
You know what happened was I messed up because, well, again, first off, I was still green. You know, I just still didn't have the mentality I still feel like I was amateur. I didn't have really any amateur fights. These all first fights were pro, but, you know, I still had an amateur mind frame. And even GSP fight, I went in with the wrong mind frame. I went in like, you know, it was war, you know, without, you know,
now,
thinking.
Were you training in Long Island still?
I was training in Long Island, but I came out to help Phil for his fight, and that's how I ended up getting this fight. I still didn't have a manager. I was training with Phil in the UFC gym, the older UFC gym, and Dana White was looking at a spar on his office camera like, who's this kid? You know, and then for some reason, Mayhem ended up getting locked up, that crazy son of a bitch. And he was supposed to fight GSP. So they had to cancel that fight. So boom, you know what?
So Dana White says to you, you want to fight GSP?
Basically, yeah.
Now, do you know anything about GSP?
Well, this is the messed up thing. Not messed up, but I trained with him at Henzo's gym in Long Island. And I was taking him down and I'm like, this kid's badass. What?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? I think it was bad for me because in my mind, I was like, oh, I'm going to smash him. I'm going to take him down and, you know, pound him out if I have to. What happened? He caught me.
Well, he caught you. Now, this is the first time you've ever been knocked out.
Yep.
Now, were you ever knocked out in sparring or training? Or
I got knocked down in sparring before that, yeah.
But not in a fight.
Not in a fight, no.
So, I mean, a lot of times I talk to people, they're like, man, I didn't think anyone was going to knock me out.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I got knocked out.
Man, you're human, dude.
Yeah.
You hit anybody on the right spot, they go down. It doesn't matter who you are.
But now, how hard do you take that loss?
I took it hard, man. It was, you know, I had to start back from ground zero, and I was, you know, there was two roads I could have took. I was, one, not for me, let me do something else. So, all right, now, you know, I got to change my situation. I got to get out of my environment and just change stuff up in my life to get better. And that's what I chose to do. I chose to move
to Vegas.
Across to Vegas at the time just to, you know, just to be engulfed in
so,
MMA.
So now you're at Extreme Couture 2005. Now, I heard legendary stories about you at Extreme Couture. I heard that you and Pyle would just fuck everybody up at the gym. Like they said that, like, basically to be part of that team, they had to get through you and Mike Pyle.
I wasn't that bad. I mean, we were just guys that, you know, it's like any gym. It's like your house. Somebody comes in your house, they disrespect, and you're going to handle it, right, as a man.
Yeah.
That's what we did. I was that guy, too, you know, definitely. If you come in my house and disrespect me, okay, let's handle it. And there's no better than to do it in a gym where you could put gloves on. There's no better place because it's all good.
I heard one time, like, there's a famous story that Team Takedown came.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, didn't tell that you guys that, like, they were there. Randy forgot to tell you guys. So all of a sudden, it's you, Pyle, I think Evan Dunham was there.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a van pulls up and Johnny Hendricks.
Wow.
CB Dalloway.
They make the story go crazy.
CB Dalloway, Ryan Bader.
Yeah, nah.
And they're just kind of...
Team Takedown? What are you talking about?
One time, I think they were the Team Takedown, right?
Really?
No. In Arizona.
And no, just, no, no. That was Hendricks. What's the bigger guy? A few other. It was all wrestlers.
So all those guys were kind of like, and they didn't tell you guys they were there. So you're like, you thought your gym was being invaded by another team.
I don't remember it like that, but yeah. I mean, Johnny was just straight out of wrestling and coming off, you know, 2-time national champ. So he had a confidence about him. And that was, you know, it wasn't like he disrespected the gym. You know, he just went hard, you know. That's the thing. There's something when you disrespect and then there's people that go super hard.
Head kicked him.
Yeah, Baroni ended up.
He was out.
Yeah, he was out cold. Yeah, he was out, definitely, for sure. But yeah, he came back strong. Look what he did.
He came back and won
the
title.
So it did, it shaped his career.
Yeah, right.
I mean, it happens. It's the fight business, guys. I mean, you know what? You could either, again, there's two roads after that.
Now, were you there when Vitor Belfort was in his steroid or whatever? Whatever those guys, the human growth hormone, whatever, I have low TRT years. Were you there during?
Yeah, he was there. I don't know what he was doing with the situation with TRT, but yeah, he was there for years. You know,
well, it just seemed like when he was on TRT, he was like spinning kicking people and head kicking people, and then off TRT, he's getting like sort of knocked out by grandmas and stuff.
I don't know what he did and does
you
at didn't his
see him
house.
In the gym taking
nah,
those,
he wasn't
needles
nah,
and stuff.
That wasn't done in the gym. Nah.
Okay.
Yeah, but he trained there for years. Yeah, Vanderlei was there. Belfort was there. I mean, we had everybody come through that gym.
Who's the guy in the gym that came in and you were like, "This guy's going to be a world champion," and then just didn't for some reason make it happen? I know everyone says Mike Pyle in the gym is like a
more of a boxer kid that came more. He did. He was just a boxer. Because at the time, Gil Martinez was there. Yeah, I mean, I'm not here to drop names, but I'm just telling you, this kid was phenomenal. I seen him in front of me.
What's his
spar
name? You can say
Canelo Alvarez and beat up Canelo Alvarez in training.
Who?
I don't. I'm not.
You know his name. You can
I forgot
say
his name.
Come
I'm punchy.
On, you can just say
I'm punchy, bro.
You can just say the guy's name.
But that's the only guy I could think of.
There was
but,
a guy that you saw beat up Canelo in the gym.
Yeah. But that's the only guy I could think of that.
And what happened?
That,
and you
I don't know.
Sense?
I haven't heard of him. I think he should be. I mean, he still could be boxing. I don't know, but that's the only guy I could think of.
And then I was telling a story how Ngannou gave me the tickets to the fight, and I was with you, and I had to leave. And then next thing I know, you're sitting next to Ngannou.
Yeah.
You're now training with Ngannou.
Oh, he came in the gym the other day. Yeah, he's a monster. Yeah.
And you were holding pads for him?
No. We're just drilling. Just drilling. No sparring. They, you know, he asked me if I want to go round one. I said, absolutely not. I just drill him when I
why
know
not?
What's coming up. Yeah, why not? This dude is a monster. He looks straight out of the Predator movie.
Yeah. You think he's going to beat Stipe?
I don't know, dude. I mean, Stipe's good, too. I'm excited to see the fight. I can't call it on that, but... You know, this guy's a monster. I think Stipe definitely has more of well-rounded with wrestling and stuff. But just to call a winner of that is you know, that's why I love this fight, you know, because I don't know.
No.
It could be over with one punch by both, you know.
So you lose to GSP, but then you come back. You beat Ronald Jun, Adam Lynn, Pat Healy, who's a fucking tough motherfucker.
Oh, yeah, he's tough.
I mean, did you know how good Pat Healy was when you were fighting him?
Yeah, I knew he was a tough guy. I knew I was going in for... a guy that would never quit, and that was him, for sure.
Then you lost to Jonathan Goulet.
Yeah, which I was beating him, and I got kneed in the head, which is probably one of the bloodiest fights in the UFC.
Yeah, man.
I made it all the way back and grinded, and you know, to be winning the fight and get kneed, and now I gotta, you know what I mean.
Then you beat Ellenberger. You beat a prime Ellenberger, lost to Chris Wilson. I don't know
Ellenberger was undefeated at the time. I'm the first guy to beat him.
Wow.
Yeah.
And Jake hits like, I mean, he hits really hard.
Oh, yeah. He's a monster.
Now, the Woodley fight, was that the hardest you ever been hit?
I don't know. I went to sleep. I don't know if it's the hardest I've been hit. I think the hardest you've been hit is when you're still awake and you could feel it.
Right. It's a good point. It's a good point.
So, I mean, yeah, he hits hard. I mean, I knew going in he hits hard.
You beat Mark Miller. You beat Chris Kennedy. I mean, you go out and you're just beating these guys left and right. You know, you beat Jesse Taylor.
Yeah, he was tough too. I remember that.
You beat a guy who blocked me on Twitter, Jason High. I don't know. He doesn't like me for
really?
Some reason. Yeah.
Oh, damn.
I made a joke he didn't like. I don't know. I don't even know the guy. He's a guy. Jesse Taylor's a tough dude. You beat Joe Riggs.
Joe Riggs, tough too, yeah. I like Joe Riggs.
He talks about
Joe
your Riggs. Penis, by the way.
He's nuts. He's fucking nutty.
I mean, you beat, and then you beat Rick Hahn, who's a
He was tough. When
great
I beat
judoka.
Him. He was undefeated when I beat him, too.
And you're a black belt in judo also, right?
No, I'm not a judo. No. I just practice judo. Judo's great art to learn. I learned it because probably I started practicing more. Well, before Rick Hahn, I was I loved the Uchimata throw. You know what I mean? I always was a thrower in wrestling, like, because I like freestyle. So I learned judo, and judo is great for MMA, to transition into MMA. And actually, I brought out to train with me for that fight was Carol Parisian. Okay. Yeah, when I fought Rick Hahn. So
how was training with Carol?
Good. I always trained with him for years, man. He was, you know, he's a fucking riot, man. He makes me laugh.
And then the Ben Askren fight, which I still think you won that fight. It was
a close
fight. I think the biggest mistake you made was when you knocked him down and started celebrating. Yeah. I was like, dude.
I know.
But I still think you won that fight.
In the moment, man. I still thought I was winning. So
Now I happen to love Ben Askren. He's a good friend.
He's tough, man. Yeah, he says he doesn't wear deodorant.
Shit.
Oh, yeah. I don't think he does either.
Because I remember you calling him stinky.
Man, he stunk. His breath and everything in the wands. I'm like, dude, just talk that away.
that was a fight. I thought you got robbed in that fight.
Yeah.
And he says that actually people bring that fight up to him more than anybody.
Wow.
He says people are still always.
If you look at him right after the fight, he thinks he lost before they announced it, and I think I won. I mean, you could see his demeanor.
Probably the best thing that happened for his career was here at that fight because he realized how long he needed. You know, then the Ellenberger fight again. I thought it was a very close fight.
I thought I won that fight too.
I do too. I love
you know
Jake.
But whatever. Yeah. I like Jake too. Jake's a good dude, but you know, I thought I won that fight. You know,
was it hard to walk away from fighting?
I don't know if it was hard. I just felt like I've been through everything and I've put, you know, 100% of myself in, and that's all I could do at the time. And I didn't want to be jaded or have a bad vibe in my stomach about fighting. So I chose to walk away, which is very hard for any professional athlete to do. I don't regret it at all. I said to myself, you know what, when that fire burns out inside of me, that's when I need to retire, because you know they always ask me over the years, oh, how long are you gonna fight, on when you gonna, you know, and I just feel like guys hold on too long, and I wasn't in a position financially to turn it down either. I just went with my gut, dude. I wasn't walking away in the sunset, all right, I could do this now, I could do that, I got a little money. No, I was walking away. That's another reason I'm like, bro, I'm, you know, I'm fighting UFC top 5 guys and I'm making nothing, dude. I looked at my check, I'm like, I'm out of here.
Making more money dealing drugs in the pocket.
Yeah.
In the 90s.
Insane too, like, you know what I mean? It was terrible, dude. I mean, it's a position, you know, I was in, I kind of took a shit deal to get back to the UFC because I felt confident in myself at that point.
I feel like I helped you out a little bit. But I got to say, because I kept tweeting and tagging Joe Silva and all the guys at Fertitta's. I'm like, this dude's 11-0 in his last 11 fights. Yeah. Why is he not in the UFC?
I had other opportunities over the years to go back to UFC where I had better offers, like for Strikeforce at the time, Affliction at the time. You know, they gave me signing bonuses. I made money, you know, decent money for making a living wise. I didn't make the monies that, you know, now, like Conor McGregor's you know, other guys made millions of dollars. No, but I made a living. You know, that's all I had to do. So where certain guys have to work, you know. So I did okay. You know, I made some paydays. I made some fight bonuses, signing bonuses, sponsors at the time. You know, so I was doing okay. I bought my first house in 2008, 2007, or whenever it was. 2006, sorry. You know, while fighting. I mean, you know, But when it was all said and done, though, I didn't, you know, save money. I was spending it like, you know, I'm signing bonus. Okay, that's a new car.
Well, I'm telling you.
Oh, I need that watch right there, that Rolex. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
you know,
gotta
we
live
all make
too.
Dumb. Yeah, we. Yeah, but whatever. That's all.
Well, since then, since you stepped away, you know, you doing stunts and stuff.
Yeah. Acting.
Acting
stunts.
I think you started off in stunts, and all of a sudden, like. You are fucking killing the game. I've seen you in...
Bless him, man.
I've seen you in every Marvel. Luke Cage. You were in Iron Fist, right?
Yeah, Iron Fist.
Daredevil. Now, you always lose in these fights. It's always in a jail scene, too. You're always in a jail, and you start
I'm stereotype, man. Guess what? I don't care. Stereotype me. I'm henchman, bad guy. One day I'll get a good guy role, but I don't mind, dude. It's all good.
But you're killing it. You're on like all kinds of movies and TV. Yeah, like,
I actually got a great one coming out. I'm so happy and blessed. Equalizer Part 2.
Nice.
Yeah, I got a nice part with Denzel Washington, which is one of my favorite actors. And
it's, you got to do a scene with him?
A scene with Denzel.
Wow.
I got a big scene with him. It's incredible. I'm happy to be a part of it. And, you know, that's going to, I can't wait till it comes out. It's
now,
awesome.
Now, when you're on set, are the actors, are they kind of like asking you about your fights and stuff?
Yeah. Everybody is always respectful and always into it. You know, it's, again, UFC and MMA is one of the biggest, you know, fighting now. And you know, it's bigger than boxing, so you know everybody's always interested and they give me a certain respect actually.
But you start at the bottom.
I started on the bottom, man. When I retired from fighting, dude, listen, when I retired, my last fight, Tyrone Woodley, I'm looking at my bank account and I'm like, dude, should I take one more fight just to get, you know, some money together? And I'm dealing with IRS problems. I mean, and you know, when the shit hits the fan, it hits the fan, because that's when everything started coming. I got audited after my last fight. I'm getting audited now, really, from the last 3 years of fighting, I'm getting audited. So I was dealing with a lot, you know? And I just like, listen, I can't just fight for money. You know, I got to be into it, because I've never, one thing, I had 30 fights. I had wins, I had losses, you know, but there's not one fight I went in and gave up. You know, I fought every fight and I trained for every single fight. You know, yeah, maybe I overtrained or did, but I bust my ass every single fight and I never gave up any fight. So if I lost, you know, it was the better man that night that I lost to. But every single fight I fought with my heart, I never fought for money or anything else. So that's how I wanted to go out. You know, I wanted to go out when that fire kind of went out.
You saying you started at the bottom, though.
Started at the bottom. So I'm retired, and now what am I doing? And, you know, I'm like, man, let's try this movie thing and see. Well, I already have been in the movie stuff since, you know, 2007-06, where Randy introduced me to a guy in New York, Johnny Santiempo, which kind of mentored me in the game and showed me the ropes. And, you know, I kind of ran with it from there. I'm like, you know, maybe I could do it. I mean, I wasn't that into it at first, but, you know, just seeing how much work went involved to it and seeing, okay, you know, my first audition I went on, I'm like, yeah, I could do this. I fight in front of 20,000 people. I fight on pay-per-view. That's easy. Give me that.
Yeah.
They gave me the script of the sides, and I'm reading. I'm like, Johnny said, so basically Homie the Clown came out the back door, hit me over there like, get it out. What are you doing? Get out of here. So I was like, oh, shit, I really have to learn.
Yeah.
You know, there's you know, a craft to this.
Mm-hmm.
And even film fighting, there's a craft to it. I'm punching for camera, not just to hurt somebody. So it's totally different from fighting, you know?
Do any guys sometimes try to be tough guys and hurt you at all? Or?
Nah.
I remember Barnett was saying that, like,
a little bit, Steven Seagal really, though. Sometimes. Yeah, I haven't run into a Steven Seagal. I mean, nah, at all. You know what? It's how most Luke people Cage, are respected. Cool? Luke Cage is awesome.
Iron Fist. It was the chick, right?
The chick, super cool, very hard worker. We spent a week rehearsing the fight, and she was there 8 hours a day rehearsing the fight with me. And she wanted to get it perfect, and I respect that, you know, because I come from fighting where we train hours a day trying to, you know, do everything we can to have our technique sharp, and she wanted everything for her to look real and sharp, and she spent all the time on it, so I respect that. She was great. Everybody's cool. Again, I come in and they know I'm a real fighter, and you know, and I was on the level of the fighting I was, and they respect that. And it's nothing, they respect that. They think it's cool that I'm there on set with them.
You know what else I respect? I respect JuegoBox.com. You got to check it out, people. JuegoBox.com. Everyone's done all the standard gift items for the holidays, clothes, cologne, a nice bottle of liquor. We've all done it. But we got something different. And much better than any of those this holiday season. If you want to return a gift, if you actually like don't like your gift, if the person you bought a gift for is like, what are you getting me? Listen, you put hot sauce on everything? If so, it's time to check out Fuego Box, a hot sauce club that delivers boxes of small batch and gourmet hot sauces right to your doorstep. They focus on flavor over heat and always avoid gimmicky selections. I hate gimmicky selections when it comes to hot sauce. Think of it as a hot sauce club for people who love food. For purchase, go to FuegoBox.com and use code GASTRO for $10 off your first box. That's FuegoBox.com, promo code GASTRO for $10 off. And for the best hot sauces you've probably never heard of. So that's awesome that you're doing this, man. But no, we do have to talk to you about probably the most impressive thing. It's not you coming second in state and fighting all these people and beating Pat Healy and beating Jason High and beating Ellenberger and Rick Hahn. Your girlfriend. Your girlfriend. Oh, wow. Okay, so this girl comes to my show. Actually, I think first time I met her, I forgot where we were watching a fight together, yeah. And I meet her, and I'm like, oh, and she's like, hi, I'm Jake's girlfriend. I'm Jake's girlfriend. I'm like, oh, so what do you do? She goes, I'm a butt model. And so I was like, oh, I thought she was joking. And then I go, and I have her take a picture of me and you.
Yeah.
And then I look back, and she has the 6 million followers. I'm like, that's the story of my life. No, is I have her take a
1.4 million.
Like, yeah. I have like 10,000. I think you have like 400. Okay.
And I fought blood, sweat, tears.
Yeah. But this girl is the hottest chick I've ever. I mean, aside from my wife, she is the hottest chick I've ever seen. Her ass is like. Yeah. I thought she had a fake ass.
No, it's all real.
It's all real.
Yeah.
Now, I have to say, like, when she came to my show, she didn't dress like she does on Instagram.
Yeah.
She doesn't go out wearing, like, the things she wears.
She gets paid for that on there.
Does she go out with you? Does she wear those hot outfits?
Yeah, she'll wear some sexy stuff. Yeah,
now,
definitely.
Are guys constantly making comments to her and you?
Not really when I'm there with her, like, right around her. Like, of course, if she'll go, like, to the bathroom by herself or, you know, get something to drink at the bar and a guy doesn't know she's with me. But, I mean, you know, that's my job to train my woman, babe. Make sure that, you know, nothing, you know, that they know right off the bat you're with somebody or, you know, I'm here. So, because when I come over there, there's no more talking if they're being disrespectful.
Right.
So, I mean, pretty much she's like, no.
What about the comments on her page? Or
I don't play. I don't look at that.
Right?
I don't look into that. They're fucking, I don't care.
Now, she's probably making,
as long as they're not blatantly disrespectful.
$1 million a year on Instagram.
No. It ain't like that. I wish. I'd be like, yeah, go ahead, babe. Show everything. go ahead, man.
I remember Hanato saying, he was like, dude, every time I see this hot girl, that's my, and then I see Jay Haran in the background, like
that's mine.
Yeah. Now, is it hard though to like, man? Is the sex wild?
Good.
Is it just insane?
Yeah, it's fun. Ugh, I love it. She's into me. So
now, how do you get a girl like that?
I don't know.
Like, how did you pick her up?
Oh, my friend, his girlfriend. I was her friend, so. I mean, I said, hey, man, I was single. And, you know, I said, what did I say? I said, ask your friend if she wants to come train with me.
Really?
Which kind of hurts me now because my girl, she's a wolf, dude. She's so jealous. She's like, you don't need to train girls. You're an actor now.
Oh,
so,
no.
Yeah, you know, it's a wrap.
Is she Puerto Rican or what is she?
She's Mexican, French, and yeah, she's pretty.
Now, I met her mom. I always talked to her mom, but
her mom's is straight Mexican.
Okay,
yeah.
But where does she get that ass from? Her dad? I don't know where.
Gym life, squats, and yeah, I don't know.
Oh my
genetics,
God,
I guess.
Dude.
I don't know.
I was like,
she
you
got
gotta be
crazy
kidding.
Booty.
I mean,
love
good
it
for you. No, that's good. I'm sure it's probably high maintenance.
Nah, she's good. She got a great personality. You know, she's just a woman though. So any woman is, you know, they get that roller coaster ride.
Does she want to marry? She wants to buy. Wants to marry you.
Yeah, you know, down the road, she not, you know, pressing me for
anything. She's young, she's 17?
Okay, Dick. Come on, dude.
No, she's
she's not 17, I'm not a child molester.
No, she's, I mean, good for you, though. That's
yeah,
I couldn't.
Cool. She's
yeah,
cool.
I was like, Jay.
She got my back, she's definitely supportive of what I do, she does the girl stuff, stress me out with, you know, the roller coaster ride, little stuff, but not like major issues with my career or.
Now, do other girls see that she's your girlfriend and they try to get with you? Because I would assume that she's a magnet for like jealous girls.
Oh, no, they don't try to get with me. They try to get with her.
Oh, really?
She's a chick magnet for herself. I mean, dude, it's crazy. I go out with her. They're trying to push me out the way to talk to her. I mean, dude, I've been out with her and. Yeah, they
but she's in the guys, though. She's not in the girls, right? Or is she in the girls, too?
No, she's into one guy, me.
Oh, well, I meant, like, you know what I meant.
Nah, she's not really into girls. I mean, she likes girls. She could appreciate a pretty woman, but, yeah, she's not, like,
yeah.
You know, let's bring home a girl and get wild or nothing. I mean, dang.
Yeah. Yeah, my girl, too. I don't think she, I mean, maybe she would for me if I really wanted her to, but I was like, eh.
Yeah. I probably would too if she really wanted to, but I probably wouldn't just because that would she would fucking chew my head off.
Yeah,
everything would be about that. Like, oh no, you like that, right? Like, you want to do it again? Like, yeah.
Yeah, you never smile like that with me.
Yeah, it's yeah. She manipulate. Thing. It'd be a whole new situation that would come up. So yeah. It's like, nah, I'm good.
Yeah, yeah. I 100%. 100% the same way. I know some guys can do that, but
and, you want and never, some strange never, just Pornhub.
Yeah, right, exactly. I know, but dude, it's just hard because I know enough porn stars in my real life that now I know the girls in porn. I feel like I'm cheating because I actually know the girl that I'm jerking off to. Like,
right?
Like, or the girls that like I knew when they were younger, now they're doing like MILF porn and they're just way too old and it's just anyway, it's fucking crazy. Anyway, Jay, so where could people support you, find you?
My Instagram is at Jay Haran, my name JayHieron. I got the Twitter still, Jay Haran. I use the Instagram a lot, you know. I tell, you know, updates of what's going on. Definitely next film coming out is Equalizer Part 2.
That's so cool,
I'm
man.
I'm not sure when it drops, probably next August. It's just, we just wrapped, so they still got
Now, why are you not in The Punisher? This really bothers me.
Yeah, because you see me in all the other Marvels, so now it's kind of burnt out. They see my picture for an audition or anything, and they're like, no, Jay Haran, nah.
Oh, yeah.
They got to bring me back as a recurring character or something. You know
right,
I mean?
Right.
I
just how many times can you get beat up by
how many times can I get killed on
it was so funny,
shows.
I posted a picture of me and you, and someone's like, it's okay, Jay. One day you'll meet a Marvel character.
Exactly, yeah. It's all good, so I don't care. So it's funny because I spent so much time in my life and trying to win fights, and now I'm doing the same training and stuff, making them look good, trying to lose. So,
and you're on this new diet.
I just started this diet called intermittent diet. It's pretty. I'm trying it out. It's pretty good. Well, not trying. I've been trying it out for a few months now, 2 months. Yeah, just because I've been bloated like in the morning, so I'm just trying to. It's more for fasting. So you eat 8 hours, and fast for 16.
Got it.
Oh, it's cool, you know, trying it out.
Nice.
You know, I don't get to spar as much as I used to, and, you know, I'm not ripped like when I was stepping on a scale to fight. So, you know, I got to, you know.
Still in good shape, though.
I'm great shape. Yeah, yeah, I can spar, you know. Yeah, I get in there a little bit, but, you know, I need a little bit of longer rest. But I still get in there. And I don't fight. I have my rules for myself. Like, I'm not going to spar a guy a week out or 2 weeks out from a fight where he has that eye of the tiger.
Right. You know, has that ever happened to you before?
Yeah, all the time. The guys in the gym, hey, Jay, come on, I got you next round. I'm like, no, you don't, buddy. You know, I mean, I don't want to disrespect him either way. He needs that top-notch level of, you know, competition because he has a fight coming up. So, I mean, I'm not on that. I mean, first round, maybe, I got you. But, you know, I need a round off in
now,
the middle.
I know Frank Mir said he used to fuck with Overeem at the gym. They used to spar, not Frank Mir, Frank Trigg. They used to spar, and he would just say something like, your hair looks bad, or he would get into his head to Overeem and be like, hey, you look kind of fat lately.
Yeah,
and it would totally fuck with Overeem's head.
Really? I don't know. I didn't see that. Yeah, I don't. Not, no sure. It sounds like something Trigg would do, probably. You know, paint his toenails.
There's a guy, Frank Trigg's a guy that like really looks down on his MMA career and like thinks that he didn't accomplish. I'm like, dude, you've accomplished so fucking much.
Oh yeah, yeah, he's great. He's a good dude too, man. I mean, I don't know if you know his personality on when he fought is different from him who he really is. He's a really good dude.
Really good dude. Yeah.
Really good dude, and you know some people don't understand that. You know when you are in the game, you have a persona about you, and you gotta, you know, whatever sells tickets.
You gotta play the heel.
You gotta play the heel, whatever, you know. So you never know what's going on with that, but you know, in reality, he's a really good dude.
Are you going to the fight this Saturday?
If my man Adam has a ticket for me,
okay,
I might.
I'll just try. I'll definitely try. My wife's in town, so I gotta take her.
No, it's all good. I've seen a million of them.
You think Cyborg or Holly Holm?
Ooh, Cyborg. She's a beast.
Yeah.
I just think in later rounds, she just keeps coming forward, dude.
What about Khabib or Barbosa?
Ooh, that's a good one.
I heard Khabib was in the hospital yesterday.
Probably Barbosa. I don't know. But again, that's what I was going to say. Depending on which Khabib comes into the cage. I mean, he's relentless too when he, you know, takes the guys down. But yeah, he's been injured lately. I don't know.
What about Neil Magny is fighting Carlos Condit?
Oh, Condit. Yeah, I think Condit will
Put
him away.
I think he's on his way
out. You know. It's crazy, man. You know what? The thing about what you got to love about it, too, fighting, it just shows when you're old. It shows when you're done. As it shows when you're on top. It shows when you're, you know, sharp. It shows when you're a beast. It shows the opposite way, too. You know what I mean? When you took a little too much damage, it shows, you know? Once you get in there, and it happens overnight. You'll see a guy fight. He looks like a stud one fight. And the next fight, he just, like, damn, what
Hendrix.
Happened? Yeah, you know, it's crazy, man. But it's so real. That's the realness about the game. That's
and
the realness
said,
about fighting.
Cowboy Cerrone's going to fight Yancy Medeiros.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I love Cowboy, man. We just actually, Cowboy worked on the movie too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's on EQ too.
Oh, nice.
Equalizer too. I believe, I'm not sure, I wasn't there for it, but I think Orlovsky might be on it as well. I'm not sure. Don't quote me on it. But yeah, Cowboy definitely has a part on it. He's in it. Does his thing. I seen some of his footage, what he was doing.
He's a good dude.
Yeah, he's solid, man. He's solid. I really click well with him. You know,
have you ever banged any ring girls or no?
Yeah. I'm in a relationship, buddy. Relax. It goes back to, yeah, my girl is bad, but yeah, she's a wolf too.
She's a wolf, right?
Yeah,
right,
man. We'll be out and there'll be other girls coming around and she just pisses on our territory. Like,
yeah, I know. Exactly.
Beat it, scram. So, you know, I'm like, damn.
I 100% hear you. So, guys, if you want to see me, I'll be in Vegas the rest of this week till Sunday night, including Sunday night. Next week, I'm in Temecula at Pachanga Casino, then San Diego on the 12th and 13th at the Comedy Palace. And then Seattle at the Underground. And then I'm in Calgary at the Comedy Cave the last week of January. Thank you, Jay Haran. Your story is amazing. They should
Thanks,
make a
guys.
Movie about it, a book starring you.
You never know. Maybe one day.
You're very inspirational, dude. Yo, fucking Freeport, thanks. People.
Freeport, baby,
Freeport.
In the building.
Yes. Thank you guys so much. Take care.
Traps, songs, and traps. Traps, songs, and traps. Don't listen, traps. Түүний сонсдог хөгжим дөрвөл лаа. Дадаж дуудан дөрвөл амуу л лаа.